Shabbat Shalom. I can hardly believe it. We are in part 11 of our series on the biblical calendar, and this is it. I think we can do it in 11. So thanks for hanging in there with me. Started in the spring, ending in the fall. So we're going to look at the final holy day, the last holy day on our calendar, which brings us through that cycle of redemption and shows us where everything ends up, the very goal of the cross, if you will. So I've called this, or entitled this, the eschatological eighth day. Eschatology is the study of the last things, of the end of the age. And so we're going to look at this holy day because all of the holy days point forward to the coming of Messiah, in which they are inaugurated, and then also his return, in which they're consummated. So this year we're going to focus on the eschatological, or the fullness of what the eighth day is pointing forward to. So like I said, it's the last day on God's calendar, and is simply and mysteriously referred to by Moses as simply the eighth day. Very little is initially said about it. But as time unfolds, the revelation of this day explodes with meaning. So in Jesus, not only was it inaugurated, it's going to be fulfilled. And that fulfillment is going to be worth eternity. Everything we've ever paid in terms of the cost of believing and following Jesus will be more than worth it in the end. So let's jump into our original passage, or the beginning of this holy day when it all began. It's Leviticus chapter 23. And you'll notice how simple and vague this holy day is in its beginning. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day, there's our phrase, eighth day. On the eighth day, you shall have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is an assembly. You shall do no laborious work. So this is the final holy day. It comes in the week of Tabernacles. And then at the end of Tabernacles, there's this extension for one day called the eighth day. For 7 days, you're going to have a celebration, and then on the eighth day, a holy convocation, an assembly. It's the final, it's the bow, if you will, on the package of the festivals. It's the icing on the cake, if you will. So this is the last of the holy days. And then they all start all over again. We do this every year, year after year after year. It's a cycle of redemption, a cycle of sanctification. It informs us and keeps us centered in Jesus, who he is and what he does to accomplish this great salvation. So what does it mean, the eighth day? What is the meaning of the eighth day? The sages have pointed out that really there's no meaning associated with it. We have the week of Tabernacles. It's for 7 days. And then we have this phrase, and then on the eighth day, have a holy convocation. They say it's as if God's saying, hey, it's the last of the festivals for the year. And I just can't end it. Let's have one more day. Let's have another day. That's the traditional understanding. But I think there's so much more, especially as we come down through the corridor of the revelation of the scriptures. We begin to see, no, there's much more to this day than just being added to the week of Tabernacles. And where do we find that? Where do we find the meaning of this day? It's in the name. It's in the phrase, the eighth day. It's through biblical numerology that we begin to understand what the day is and what it means. So much of God's word is a mystery. It's filled with revelation. But we need the illumination of the Holy Spirit to begin to what? Break that down and unpack it for us. So when we look at biblical numerology, all of a sudden we get some traction with the fulfillment or the consummation of what we call the eighth day. So we have Noah and the universal flood. Remember that? God destroys humanity in the days of Noah, and he saves only a few. And how many does he save? Peter tells us eight. He saves eight people. Think of that. All of human civilization is going to start over again through eight people. That's not very many people, by the way. You know, they're going to reboot humanity. This is the rebirth of humanity under Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that grace gave us all a new beginning. Humanity got a new start, if you will, so that the number eight begins to take on this idea of new beginnings. We have also this ritual of circumcision that was given to us through Abraham. Remember that story of Abraham? God says, I'm going to give you a promised child. And that promised child is really, you know, the one that's going to procure for everyone salvation. And not only for the descendants, your physical descendants, but also for the nations. And so Abraham and Sarah being way too old to have kids. I mean, it's just like, what? You know, menopause was like 40 years ago, you know. Where are the mandrakes? For those that have been in the Midrash, right? So they're like, this is not going to happen. So they resorted to plan B. Instead of receiving by faith this grace of the promised seed, instead of receiving that by faith, they decided that they were going to procure it through the works of the flesh. So Sarah gives Abraham her young, beautiful maid and says, you go into Abraham and give me a child. We're going to help God out. We're going to procure this promise by the works of our flesh. So what does God say? Ain't going to happen. Abraham says, oh, let Ishmael be the promised child. He says, no, that's your flesh, Abraham. You and Hagar and Sarah, you did that with your flesh. I'm going to give you what I promised, which comes by grace through faith. So in order to remember that it's by grace through faith and not the works of your flesh, I'm going to have you circumcise your flesh because you tried to use that to procure my promises. So this whole idea of circumcision becomes a beautiful sign that every time it is seen, it reminds us that we are saved by grace through faith in the promised seed and not by the works of our flesh. It's a powerful symbol of the gospel. Guess what? What day do you circumcise your male children on? The eighth day. God says you shall do this on the eighth day. Again, eight is tied into this whole idea of new beginnings. It's in the covenant that we have through faith in the promised seed that we have a new beginning. And circumcision is a symbol of that. Let's take one more. And believe me, there's plenty. I'm just picking out a few of the big ones. Probably the most noteworthy miracle that has taken place in human history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because he was resurrected to immortal life. His body was changed. He had an immortal, beautified, glamorized, glorified body. The first of those which later will come to all of us. That resurrection becomes a watershed issue in human history. And on what day did Jesus rise from the dead? What day? Sunday. He rose on the first day of the week. If you don't think so, see me after the service. I'll help you out with that one, okay? Sunday. And what other term is given or assigned to Sunday? The number eight. The number eight is associated with Sunday, the first day of the week. He rose on the first day of the week, and then in his first appearance post-resurrection, it too was on a Sunday. It's called the eighth day. If you count 8 days from Sunday, what day do you have? Sunday. You can do that with any day, by the way. Count 8 days from Monday. You got Monday, right? But in John 20:26, this is the post-resurrection visitation of Jesus to his disciples. It says, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. And this is where Jesus appears to them. 8 days later, which would have been Sunday. And so the early church began to recognize this correlation between Sunday and the resurrection and the concept of the eighth day. And they developed that in a number of different ways and went different directions with it. But suffice it to say, the number eight, is tied into this resurrection event. Has tremendous meaning for us. Let me shift gears and talk about inauguration and consummation. Keep in mind that through biblical numerology, the number eight signifies new beginning, new life, new creation. So let's talk about inauguration, consummation, how Jesus inaugurates the fulfillment and then later will bring it into its consummation, its completion. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus inaugurated this eighth day, this eschatological eighth day, the eighth day that's still coming, broke into the past. It's already begun. It's inaugurated, if you will. How did he do that? He did that in his resurrection. The body he got was one of the bodies that is promised to us in the age to come. That immortalized, glorified body came 2,000 years ago in the resurrection of Jesus. It's already begun. The new creation is broken into our past in the resurrection of Jesus. We're all going to have this in the future. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation." Do you believe in Jesus? In believing in Jesus, when you embrace him as your Lord and Savior, he causes you and me to be born again. We're born from above. We're new creations. The old things have passed away. New things have come. This is the new creation breaking into the here and now in an inaugural way, a beginning. Certainly not in its fullness, but it begins. Through faith in Jesus, we're already participating in the coming eighth day. Consummation. What will it look like in the future? Let me talk about cosmic days versus solar days. How long is a solar day? Anyone? 24 hours. How long is a cosmic day? Well, let's look at this. In the Hebrew scriptures, the word that we have for day is yom, Y-O-M, yom. And the Hebrew word yom has four nuances. It's used to describe any part of a day or any part of a night. The second nuance is the daylight part of a solar day or the dark portion of a solar day. So that approximate 12-hour period of light is referred to as yom, a day, even though it's only 12 hours. And then you have a solar day, 24-hour period of time, where you have light and darkness. That, too, is described with the Hebrew word yom. Now, if you wanted to describe a really long period of time that has a start and a finish, let's say 1,000 years, let's say 10 million years. Let's say billions of years. 7 billion, 14 billion. What Hebrew word would you use? Yom. You would describe it with that same word that's translated day. Those are the four nuances. So if Moses wanted to describe a 12-hour period of time as a day, what Hebrew word would he use? Yom. If Moses wanted to describe a 24-hour period of time as a day, what word would he choose? Yom. It's only one to choose, by the way. If Moses wanted to describe a period of time that encompassed a very long period of time, say thousands or millions or billions of years, what word would he choose to conceptualize this time period? Yom. So when we talk about solar days, they're 24-hour periods of time. When we talk about cosmic days of creation, we really don't know how long each day was. Could be vast amounts of time for each day. We simply refer to them as cosmic days, cosmic days. So let's shift now and talk about the seven cosmic days of creation. Those creation days, which appear to be very long each day, very long periods of time. Let's talk about them for a moment. In fact, I think what I'm going to have to do just to fit my time today, I'm going to jump forward here. You have to follow me on the slides. Okay, so let me just make the case without giving you any information. Just trust me on this. I'm joking. Don't trust me. Go home and study it and see if what I'm saying is true, okay? I'm going to say that, Hebraically speaking, we're in the seventh cosmic day of creation right now. We're still in the seventh cosmic day of creation. Yeah, I understand we're in solar days and we have that week. We go through every week, right? I understand that. But when we talk about the week of creation, cosmic days, we're in the seventh day currently. How do we know that? Because the cosmic seventh day has not yet ended. If you go to Genesis 2, you discover that that day doesn't have an end. If you go to each of the previous days, they all end with this phrase, and there was evening and there was morning one day. There was evening and there was morning a second day, an evening and a morning a third day, all the way through the sixth day. But you get to the seventh day and there's no phraseology. There was evening and morning. It's missing. It just stands out like a sore thumb. What is that all about? What does that imply? That implies the day hasn't ended. It implies that God rested and is still resting. Jesus even says that God has rested or ceased from all of his work of creation. And we know that he did. He created for 6 days and then he stopped and he's been resting. And there's no end to that day. And both in the Tanakh and in the Apostolic Scriptures, we have writers that make that case, that God has ceased, that the Sabbath is kind of a type and shadow of rest, of salvation, where we find our rest in God. And as long as it's the seventh day, we can be saved, we can respond. But once the seventh day closes and we enter the eighth, it's over. No one else will be saved from that point on. All the lost will be thrown into the lake of fire. So we're still in this seventh day. We're still in this cosmic day of rest. Does that make sense? You know, the fossil record actually gives us that evidence. Before we go there, let's go to slide 23. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. I just want to read it for you. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed, all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. No end. He's resting. He stopped. You look at the fossil record, and you see speciation exploding. We see that in the Avalon and the Cambrian explosions and other ones, just massive, massive speciation that replaces massive extinction rates. It's as if you see God creating all the stuff that's described in Genesis chapter 1. And then all of a sudden, with the arrival of humanity, you see that speciation comes to a grinding halt. And from that time on till today, there is no speciation. There's no new species. just extinction going on 24/7. No speciation. Why? Because we're in the seventh day. He's resting. He's no longer creating. So of course we would see that come to a grinding halt in the fossil record. And it does, because God is no longer creating. He's resting, and he's inviting us to rest, to enter his rest through faith in Jesus. That's the cosmic seventh day, if you will. Now it's going to come to a close, and we're going to be given one more day, the eighth day, the eighth cosmic day of creation. It comes at the end of the seventh as we merge into the next one, the eighth day. And that eighth day never ends. It's the last day, just like on the calendar. It's the last festival. There are no more cosmic days. It's endless. It's eternity. I want to read this to you out of Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 15. Give us the context for when the eighth day comes. Speaking of the millennium, it says, when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison, will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for a battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea, and they marched over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, Jerusalem. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they are tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and the sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's the end. That's the close of the final seventh cosmic day of creation. It completes the week. This present age comes to its final end when all are judged, the living and the dead. Those in Messiah, we receive rewards. Those who rejected the offer of God's salvation, his compassionate, merciful offer of salvation through his Son, those who rejected that, are thrown into the lake of fire. All evil is thrown in there. The devil and his angels are thrown in there. Even death and Hades are thrown in there. There's no more death, and there's no more need for the realm of the dead, because all of it is being eliminated and consumed in the fires, because we're going to have this great transition. Something's going to happen on the heels of this. Everything is burned up. Nothing's there. And then the eighth day begins. And what do we find? What do we find on the eighth day? God gets up. He's had a nice rest, and he starts creating again. He's a creator. He's going to create again. So in Revelation chapter 21, the very next verse after this final end in the lake of fire, it says this: then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. I saw a new heavens and a new earth, a new beginning, a new creation. The old creation is passed away, consumed in the flames. Everything, even death itself, thrown into the lake of fire. And God now begins creating a whole new creation. This is amazing. The book of Enoch envisions an eighth cosmic day of creation. It's amazing to see that the Jewish people have understood this concept of cosmic days of creation and solar days, and how one is analogous of the other. So we come into this eighth day. It's the day in which the new creation comes into being. Verse 2, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, because that's what precedes the eighth day, right? Sukkot. The tabernacle of God is among them. He will dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. This is the consummation of the week of tabernacles, which leads us into the eighth day, which kicks off the new creation. In summary, let me just state that these fall holy days point forward to all these coming events. Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, right? The return of King Jesus. Yom Kippur, when Israel as a nation in the future receives and proclaims Jesus as king, is saved, forgiven, and cleansed. Jesus begins his millennial reign on the heels of this. His first reign is in heaven. It's a providential reign where he rules and reigns from heaven. The first phase of the kingdom, which is the redemptive phase. The second phase will be his physical presence in Jerusalem, where he rules and reigns with great glory, and the nations submit to his kind and compassionate rule and reign. Then comes the eighth day, when Jesus completes his millennial reign, makes his enemies a footstool, judges the living and the dead, throws everything that's contrary to his father and his father's ways into the lake of fire, and then starts to create again, this being the eighth and final day, the eighth day, which is the day of new beginnings, the day of new creation. Verse 4, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Most everything that we experience, we will never experience again in the age to come. All the hardship, the loss, the disappointments, the violence, everything is reconciled. Jesus brings healing. Perspective wipes away our tears. We're clothed with immortality. We become these beautiful, magnificent, indestructible beings. This is the glorification of the saints. Oh, I have my hair back. What a day that's going to be. Life's hard. A lot of trials and tribulations, fiery trials. But Jesus will see us through all of that, and then he'll make it right, and then we'll never have to go through that again. Verse 5, and he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. This is the eighth day. This is the consummation. He will make all things new. He creates once again a new heavens and a new earth. This is why we call it the eighth day. And this is why we say by the number 8, it conveys the concept of new creation. How long will the new creation take? How long did the last one take? The new one's even better. When he created the last one, he stopped and rested. He said, behold, it is good. And it is good for a fallen race. But there's a lot of violence and a lot of heartache. The next one, he doesn't say it's good. He says it's perfect. The next one's perfect. No more sin, no more shame, no more violence, no more loss, no more death. No more crying. It's amazing. The next one has a new physics. And in that new physics, everything is immortalized and indestructible, and love will fill all of it. And we will sing and dance and shout and praise for all eternity, being reunited with all of those loved ones that went before us, right? All those that are coming after us. For all eternity, we will sing his praises. I don't know. I kind of got this inkling that we'll probably help in creating the new creation. There'll be plenty of things that are to do that's full of meaning and purpose, right? It's going to be amazing. You know, it also says that we're going to rule and reign with him forever and ever. What does that imply? What does that imply? I mean, we're not told much, but suffice it to say, we're going to be doing so much stuff and ruling and reigning with them, which implies a lot of different things. But you know what? It's exciting. It's the great adventure, right? The great expedition. And in Messiah, we're all going to get there. That is the story. That is the meaning of the eighth day. And for now, all who are in Messiah, it's already begun. We are new creations. The old things have passed away. Let them go. Quit thinking about them. Look forward to where we're going and who we are in Messiah. For in him, all things have become new. Shabbat shalom.